What's up, guys? In case you haven't heard, Blue Wire Studios just dropped their first original podcast, Golden Goal. The show gives you 10-minute episodes all about soccer legends and the moments that made them, whether you're just learning about soccer for the first time or a die-hard fan. This podcast is a great listen for everyone. The final two episodes are live right now, or binge the entire season to learn about your favorite soccer stars. Check out Blue Wire's Golden Goal, available anywhere you listen to your podcasts. You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Wednesday, which means it's time for takeaways with me, Heidi Fang. Welcome, everybody, to Takeaways on the Vegas Nation podcast. I'm your host, Heidi Fang, and we are brought to you by Favor. Drinkafavor.com. I am joined today by Gilbert Manzano, the Chargers beat writer for OC Register, the LA Daily News, social news group. He used to be out here in Vegas with us, but he and his pit bull Cam are now living happily out in somewhere near, you know, Los Angeles, obviously, to cover the team. I'm not exactly sure the city, but it's okay. I'm not going to blow up your spot, Gilbert, but thank you so much for coming on the show with us. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Heidi. I think that was the best intro I've ever had because you mentioned my dog, Cam, and I love that.
Well, I know you're a big, you know, lover of animals, and your dog means a lot to you. A lot of these, you know, social media, you've got something about Cam there. So, you know, dogs are family, man.
Exactly. You know how it is. And Heidi, I just want to say it's good to be back talking to you. You know, I know I'm not in Vegas, but I love being in Vegas and working with you and everybody at Vegas Nation. So I'm so honored that you invited me to come back.
Of course, I am a loyal person. I'm loyal to my friends. I'm loyal to those who have rolled with me on the road. We've been to Mexico together.
We broke bread
and tortillas and sopas in Mexico. So we had to get you back on, especially now that you're big time down with the Chargers. So
I wouldn't say I went big time. I am in Hollywood. I'll say that. But I'm doing okay.
Oh, Hollywood! What's up? I mean, for those people who don't know, some parts of Hollywood, you got to be careful. It's not like all glitz and glamour, like in the movies. I think, you know, Pretty Woman may have given a little bit of insight in it if anybody ever watched that movie, but it's not completely like, you know, the glitzy glamour Rodeo Drive. It's not all that. So, you know, people get confused.
You know what's funny? I feel like I've never even been in Rodeo, and I grew up in LA, but I just say LA because I don't want to get into it to where I live. Like you mentioned, some part in LA. You know, I grew up in Pasadena, so I just say the Rose Bowl, and people are like, oh, okay. But I never get into it, so I'm just going to say Hollywood, and I like that you explained it.
Well, the Rose Bowl, you know, it's been a home of many football games. The Raiders have played their one Super Bowl that they won. I want to start getting into, you know, some talk here about football with you, because you and I have been doing that for quite some time. And as we look to your big career now with the Chargers, we're having to see each other on the opposite ends now when we're going to games. It's going to be awkward, you know, when we're in SoFi Stadium. If we can even be in the same press box, who knows? It's a pandemic going on. We have no idea how we would even be able to go up to each other, maybe through glass partitions, and I could wave at you, hey Gilbert, you know. Maybe you wave down. I don't know how that's all going to work out, but you've been down there with SoFi Stadium. That's starting to come to life here for both. It's going to be the home of the LA Chargers and the Rams. So I wanted to get your take right now on what that stadium looks like, first of all, because you and I, we're it's like almost parallel lives in different cities. We have Allegiant Stadium coming up here. You have SoFi Stadium down there. What has that experience been like, getting to see and cover everything that's happening with that stadium coming up, state of the art now, finally, for these two LA teams?
You know, the first thing that comes to my mind, it's a massive place. It's gigantic. I think the last time I was there, you know, was in February before the whole, you know, everything broke out with the pandemic. And I was there standing, you know, not on the field, but I was over the field, I think in the middle level. And I was telling myself, how are they going to get this stadium done by August? And then you start going into the month and you see the pandemic that broke out. Some of the construction workers tested positive for coronavirus. I think it just happened again not too long ago. One person, you know, unfortunately died. And I keep just going back, why do they keep rushing this? I know they want to get a stadium done, but every time I talk to the NFL and I reach out to the PR people there, they say, hey, everything's on track to open the new stadium. Don't worry. But don't even ask me about fans yet. So that's another crazy part they always tell me. But they have a schedule out. They're planning for games in August. That's where I'm worried about. But overall, the stadium, which cost $5 billion. It started at $2.5 billion. So now it's doubled. When it's done and finished, whenever that is, it's supposed to be a nice place, a place where the NFL can set up shop on the West Coast. I know Vegas has competition there, but I know eventually they want to do maybe the Combine in L.A. I know the Pro Bowl went to Vegas, so it's going to be funny to see these two stadiums kind of battle it out for some events that happens annually.
Okay, first of all, $5 billion. Everything costs more in California. That's why I stay in Vegas now. I love it here. It's like half the price for everything, including our stadium. We're going out of like probably the $2 billion mark, but it's still like people out here are calling it the Death Star. The last thing I want to ask you on this is talking about Hard Knocks. This is going to be a very interesting way because how they cover Hard Knocks, because I'm sure you saw last season when the Raiders were on Hard Knocks that in the training camp, they have literally like on Derek Carr, they had 8 people surrounding him at all times with cameras and microphones and boom mics. And, all of these people that have to be in place to cover the key stars of a game or of a team, excuse me. And on top of that, you have an editing crew. You have another crew assigned to, your rookie. So like Justin Herbert would have, his own guys around him. And how do you think they are going to be able to pull this off? Have you heard anything about it? Because they are doing both LA teams upon this move of SoFi of how Hard Knocks is going to work with the Chargers this year.
They officially announced the two teams, the Rams and the Chargers, and they had head coaches from Anthony Lynn and Sean McVay and the GMs both to talk with the HBO executives there. And they're trying to make it seem like it's going to be a great season, a great show of two teams moving to a new stadium. And then all the reporters are asking me, why are you guys still doing this? Like you mentioned, Heidi, the extra crews, the extra people. I thought we were supposed to keep these players isolated in with space, and now we're bringing more camera crews. And me as a reporter, I'm going to be mad if they say, hey, reporters, beat writers, you get to work from home because we can't allow more people. So why does HBO get to go in and be in front of all these people? Like you mentioned, all these microphones in front of Justin Herbert and Tyrod Taylor. So that's going to be tricky. And are these guys who are on the HBO crew, guys and women, sorry about that, are they going to be quarantined? Are they going to be taking precaution? And that's what kind of became the story yesterday when they announced the teams. And I think it's going to be a good season. They both have good stars, and you're going to a new stadium, and coaches are very talkative. But you got to think, is this really worth it? I know you want to have a good season on, but maybe this might not be the right year. And that's another reason why I keep thinking the NFL is just going there at business as usual. Their own schedule. They don't really care about what's going on. I'm sure they care, but they keep ignoring everything, and they keep just going out to the regular schedule. And we were going from training camp. We had the draft. I know that was a unique draft, but you go from the draft to training camp to Hard Knocks and the regular season. It's just going to be just so strange to me that we're expecting to have a regular season.
Yeah, it's going to be strange, I'm sure, to everybody. But let's go ahead, take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the riverless season over there in LA. And lastly, we're going to also discuss a little bit about the AFC West and how teams vying for the number 2 spot are going to battle it out. That's probably going to be the Raiders and the Chargers, Gribbler. So we're going to get into that when we come back here on Vegas Nation Takeaways. They say a healthy gut means a healthy you. Favor apple cider vinegar shots bottle this feeling into the convenience of a 2-ounce shot. Better digestion, stronger immune system, and the lowering of blood sugar levels are just some of the benefits to shooting a daily Favor shot. Their proprietary blends are raw and organic and mixed with other functional ingredients to create a better tasting experience. First time shooters can go to drinkafavor.com. Welcome back to Vegas Nation Takeaways. It's Heidi Fang here, and I'm joined again with the OC Register Zone, with the LA Daily News Zone. That would be Gilbert Manzano. He is father of Cam, as we mentioned in the beginning, a loving father of a beautiful pit bull. And we're going to get into some things here now with the Chargers, the AFC West. This is going to be this team's riverless season. And as you look at it, like, what do you think this team does now as far as organizing the offense and how it might look without Phillip Rivers there.
Yeah, first of all, it's going to be very weird not to see number 17 out there, a very talkative guy, a very outgoing guy, very respected. Hasn't missed a start in 14 seasons, which I think it's overlooked. That's amazing to do nowadays for a quarterback. And he was the face of the franchise for, you know, about 14, 15 seasons. And he won't be there, and it's going to be weird. But the good thing for the Chargers, they signed a year ago. I don't know if they had this in mind that Rivers will leave because they had 1 year left on his contract. But it was smart for the Chargers to bring in Tyrod Taylor, an experienced veteran. And they got him on an affordable contract. It was a two-year contract. I think he was getting paid $5 million per year. So now you're starting cornerback, you're only making $5 million. So that's what they're able to go out and spend a little money this year. But having Tyrod is good. If we ask our colleague Adam Hill, he will vouch for Tyrod Taylor and call him the MVP. And the Chargers are going to go 16-0. So from his point of view, it will go very well. Me, I'm still a little more skeptical. I've seen the highs and lows of Tyrod Taylor with Buffalo and Cleveland. But there's a lot of good. He's very talented. Doesn't turn the ball over. That was a problem for the Chargers. We covered that game. Were both games with the Raiders, and those interceptions killed the Chargers. So you won't get that from Tyrod Taylor. And then also you have a young quarterback in Justin Herbert. I don't know if he's going to be out there to start the season, but he's definitely in the future, and he's supposed to be the heir apparent to Phillip Rivers.
A lot of people, though, might be listening and going, why are they talking so much about the Chargers? Because it's the AFC West, and that's something that I want to get into, is the AFC West right now with the new CBA that they had expanded now to have more playoff spots at the wild card position particularly. And I was thinking, you know, if this year, barring no injuries, the Chiefs yet again take the AFC West and are the champs of that division, then there would be probably just a pair of teams there. Although Denver did a lot of stuff in the draft. But I think it comes down to the Raiders and the Chargers when you're looking at that second spot, just based on records, the way that they played last year, the strength of schedules, all these different things that come into play. When you start looking at the landscape of the division, when you start just objectively, I know you're the beat writer, but you know, see Register, Gilbert Manzano, and you have to do what you have to do. But when you start objectively looking at it, who do you think could possibly make the playoffs in this division? If you have to say Chargers, just go ahead, just say it.
It's very tough. I think I can't even decide who's number two between all three teams. I love what the Broncos did. I love what the Raiders did, and I love what the Chargers did. But the thing about these three teams, they all have question marks at the quarterback position, which makes it very hard for me to decide who's going to be the best from that bunch. I know people love Drew Locke. I covered his game where he had his first start, and he was impressive, but he still needs a lot of work, and I'm not sure how he's going to do as a sophomore, because sometimes these teams watch your tape, they adjust, and you struggle. You look at Baker Mayfield a year ago, he struggled as a sophomore, so I don't know what Drew Locke's going to do. I don't know what Tyrod Taylor is going to do with the Chargers. He's been up and down. Again, Adam Hill says he's going to do well. I don't know how he's going to do. Derek Carr, he has up and downs also. Derek Carr has weapons now, but we've seen what Derek Carr has done the last couple of years, so I can't decide. But if we're looking, I want to say Chargers. I know you're saying I'm going to say Chargers because I really like their defense. They're loaded on defense with Joey Bosa and Derwin James and Casey Hayward. But I'm also worried about the left tackle spot. They let Russell Kuhn go. I know they really added depth with Trey Turner and Brian Bulaga, but left tackle is such an important position. You're going to trot out a guy who's in the second year. I don't really like that either. The Raiders have a great offensive line. And sorry, Heidi, I'm going long-winded because I'm trying to do a break it down because I can't decide. But they have a great offensive line.
Talk out your feelings.
I'm trying. But I think I'm going to go Broncos because they have a little more balance. I like their, they still have Von Miller, who's a great defender. They have a good safety. If Drew Lock kind of progresses, he has the weapons. They got Jerry Jeudy. I'm surprised the Raiders didn't take Jerry Jeudy. I know maybe Henry Ruggs is going to be a good player himself. But when you got Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy, and I think they added KJ Hambler, You got Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay. And if Drew Lock could, you know, progress, and I think the offensive line's a little shaky, but they're not too bad. I think they're going to be that number two team. And I don't feel good about it, but you're making me pick, Heidi. So I'm going to say Broncos after that 10-minute answer. So Denver it is.
Yeah, and you know, one thing you mentioned, like the Raiders' offensive line is, I think, what's really going to help this team. And then they went and got a good signal caller on defense, and they have new linebackers that I think are going to make an impact here in this division. Corey Littleton is very, very solid of a player. Mm-hmm. You might know a little bit about him from seeing him out there with the Rams when, you know, you've been in LA. So I just assume because you're in LA, you get to see everybody work out. But, you know, it's one of those things where, to the Raiders' credit, I think they did well in the offseason to bring in pieces of the puzzle that they really need. And I'm so curious to see how this works out for them, especially with the guys that they brought in secondary, like Prince Amukamara, the defensive ends that they also brought in, you know, and the tackle Malik Collins from Dallas. So there's a lot of guys that they have now for depth. And a lot of guys that they have now on offense, as you mentioned, the weapons that they've brought in. Henry Ruggs is a speedster. Now, I'm curious with Ruggs to see how the season pans out, just because when you start to look at what he did in his college career, you know, obviously Jerry Jeudy was on the other side of him. So you have Jerry Jeudy, who's the big standout that's in 1,000-yard games, double-digit touchdowns. And Henry Ruggs was kind of more in the 700-yard receiving range. And, you know, so that's something that's interesting to see. But he has the speed. He has the dynamics. So if you're going to use the West Coast offense with a guy like him, you can throw it to him on a quick out route and, you know, watch him just speed past the defenders. That's going to be something I think that might be utilized more often than throwing him a deep ball, if you will. So I think that that's something that we're going to have to see how it pans out. But he's an interesting piece to this puzzle, is how solid of a big receiver that the Raiders have desperately needed can he really be? I mean, I still think that Darren Waller is going to be their number one target and their number one receiver this year, especially now because they have a guy like Jason Witten and can come in and give him a blow when it needs to be. But it's going to be crazy to see how everything just works out with all of these teams in the AFC West, like you said, and it's going to be a road race for that number two spot.
Yeah, and I'm very intrigued about the Raiders. You know, I covered the first year of Gruden there with you guys, and he tore that team down. And I'm like, what are you doing trading Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper? But I think now after a couple of years, you're starting to see, like you mentioned, the depth, the pieces. I think it's now becoming a John Gruden team. And I know I mentioned I was a little surprised they didn't go with Jerry Jeudy because he's more polished and he's kind of ready to go as a route runner. Mm-hmm. But Gruden likes his gadget guys. He likes his speedsters. And it's also a kind of a copycat league. You want your own Tyreek Hill. And if Henry Ruggs could do that, take the top off defenses, and you have Hunter Renfro, who could be your slot guy. I think you brought in Nelson Aguilar. Tyrell Williams, a former Charger, if he's healthy, another speedster, and you mentioned Darren Waller, you got pretty much all type of weapons to kind of open up that playbook. And I'm gonna be very excited to see what John Gruden, you know, the old playmaker there who came back from the Monday Night Booth. This could be this year to kind of break out and kind of be in the X's and O's guys. And we haven't even mentioned Josh Jacobs. He was one of the rookie stars, you know, a year ago. And the offensive line with Trent Brown and Colton Miller, that's a solid unit. I think it comes back down to Derek Carr. It's kind of that make or break year for Derek Carr. You have everything around you. I know people have been, you know, criticizing him and kind of, you know, I'm saying, you know, he's not our quarterback. But now this could be the year he can make people shut up, you know, have that home in Vegas for a long time. I'm just excited to see what Derek Carr could do with this unit.
Same, especially because now he's had a couple years under his belt in the system here with Greg Olson. So he's got the playbook down. He knows how to work with Gruden. He knows what to expect. So, and if this wide receiver core can stay together, then he'll finally have one that is not full of it's just injuries that the wide receiver core has been plagued with over the last few years that I've seen. I mean, you know, they had to bring in receiver after receiver last year and the year before just because of the different injuries that had happened to this team. So we'll see how Derek Carr pulls through with a new squad in 2020. But that'll do it for us here today on Vegas Nation Takeaways. Gilbert, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. We'll have to have you back on again, maybe before the Raiders play the Chargers in the first game. That should be a lot of fun to see if we're even allowed to get in the game or not. We don't know yet. Nobody knows anything.
Hopefully I see you, but I won't be able to give you a hug because remember, 6 feet apart.
We'll do air hugs and we'll just look weird about it. We'll look like the floppy arm guys that are on top of the buildings waving around. Hey, Gilbert!
Yeah, it's going to be awkward, but I can't wait for that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again. And everybody, make sure to hit subscribe wherever you are listening. We had to thank our sponsor, Favor, drinkoffavor.com. And also check everything out by downloading the Vegas Nation app and also vegasnation.com. For Gilbert Manzano, I'm Heidi Fang. We'll be back next week.